the writings that maybe appeal to me were more syndicalist works. Probably the most well-known syndicalist would be Rudolf Rocker, the anarcho-syndicalist, who wrote Anarcho-Syndicalism and Theory and Practice. But the time I got involved, I mainly read about the history of the IWW and how it organized, which wasn't explicitly anarchist at the time, but the way they were organizing was quite close to anarchist principles.
This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on all the social medias and get us wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, I've got someone really interesting. I've just kind of recently discovered this project, and I've really been enjoying it. There's this YouTube channel called Audible Anarchist, and they are reading and committing to recording a lot of the great anarchist writings. And I know we often lean a little bit communist here, but I have some great friends that are anarchists, and I have quite a bit of anarchist sympathies as well. So I want to welcome to my show, Ready Brick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be
here. So how long have you been involved with Audible Anarchist?
I think about a year and a half, maybe nearer 2 years, give or take.
And have you done any recordings yourself, or are you just helping arrange things?
Well, originally I started doing some recordings for LibriVox, that public domain audiobook service, and then I first volunteered recording my voice for a few readings, and then I sort of moved on to more production side and sound editing.
So you weren't one of the original people that conceived of this project. You kind of saw what they were doing and joined in yourself.
Yeah, about some time ago, I stumbled upon the YouTube channel and liked what they were doing and sent them an email asking if I could get involved, and they just went from there.
Yeah, and it's really kind of awesome because a lot of people may not have time to sit down and read something, but, you know, people can just pop in, listen to a podcast while they're driving or while they're waiting in line or whatever they're doing. So it's really a chance to get some of that, some of those writings out there, which I think is an awesome kind of benefit you're adding to society. Are you an anarchist yourself?
Yeah, I've been more of an anarchist / libertarian socialist for a number of years, gravitated in that direction for a while now. Yeah, I'm a member of the Industrial Workers of the World Union in the UK branch.
Okay. Yeah, we have a few wobblies that we're friends with here on New Jersey Revolution Radio.
yeah.
In the UK, are they the IWW doing a lot of anti-fascist work like they're trying to do here in the United States?
In the UK, we've mainly gotten headlines for helping to organise couriers for all these fast food couriers, like Deliveroo drivers and other precarious workers in the UK. But anti-fascism has been a thing we're interested in, what with the EDL, and groups like that, who became very popular a few years ago, massive street demonstrations, and they've sort of splintered and fought amongst themselves for a while there. But quite a few of the wobblers I know have been involved in counter demonstrations and actions like that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know some of the ones locally here in New Jersey, at least, are doing some really great anti-fascism work, so I always have to give them sort of a shout out for that work that they're doing, because fascism's rising around the globe, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, looks like the Conservative Party has been sliding further and further to the right for a number of years now. It's been very openly xenophobic and increasingly courting these people. So we've got a far-right government again.
So what was it about anarchism or libertarian socialism that sort of drew you to that particular belief structure?
Well, originally I was a member, I got active, got involved in the Labour Party, and it was more of a traditional British communist sort of thing, which is more light Communist Party of Britain style, big state nationalisation type person, as well. Right. That's mainly what I was involved in. But my experiences on demonstrations and seeing how our organisations ran like that, and it just petered out or led to infighting and kind of disillusioned me for a while. And then I started learning a bit more about more alternative left-wing groups and currents like the IWW, which I first saw in a film called Reds from the 1980s with Warren Beatty. You remember that?
No, I never saw that.
I was a massive historian, so I used to just any film that was vaguely historical, I would just, especially about Russian Revolution or anything, I'd loved. And so I grabbed a copy, and there was a guy, there's a bit in the scene of the IWW, and it seemed like that was everything the guy was saying. I thought was amazing, but I thought that because it was like 1910s America, I assumed that group, which I'd never heard of, had been destroyed during the Red Scares. And then eventually, right, I met some wobblies, and got involved in that way, which led further to read more about libertarian socialism and introduced me to more anarchist groups as well.
So what would you say, because, you know, obviously this is about writings, great anarchist writings. Were there any writings that really inspired you that you would suggest people that wanted to start learning more either listen to on Audible Anarchist or read themselves?
Well, the writings that mainly appealed to me were more syndicalist works. Probably the most well-known syndicalist would be Rudolf Rocker, the anarcho-syndicalist, who wrote Anarcho-Syndicalism in Theory and Practice. But the time I got involved, I mainly read about the history of the IWW and how it organized, which wasn't explicitly anarchist at the time, but the way they were organizing was quite close to anarchist principles. I'd say Solidarity Federation, which is an anarcho-syndicalist union group in the UK, put out a few years ago a very good document called Fighting for Ourselves, which is more like a modern version of syndicalism, which is very, very influential to what I was looking in towards.
And are those available on Audible Anarchist, or are they not there yet?
We've got the introduction of Fighting for Ourselves done. We're still working on that at the moment. Anarcho-Syndicalism in Theory and Practice by Rudolf Rocker is finished and on Audible Anarchist.
How many works are there now on Audible Anarchist?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd estimate, including very short readings of very very quick essays, I'd say good 80 to 100 uploads.
Oh, wow. That's quite a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are fairly short essays. Like one I did was about, including the Audible Anarchist bumpers, was about 3 minutes. It was a quick one. But we've also got very long works like Nationalism Culture, which is currently 21 chapters. So that's quite a long work. And so it varies a bit between subject matters.
But there's a good bank of that literature there that's been done already, so people can have a lot that they can dive into if they want, are looking for something to listen to.
Oh, yes, there's quite a lot to work through. I've not listened to every upload we've done myself yet. It's quite a lot of work.
So what's the dream works that aren't there yet? What would you really like to see get done?
Well, we haven't finished the Fight for Ourselves yet, which I'm really looking forward to getting that completed. One of our readers, new readers, decided to take on the anarchist F frequently asked questions, and they've done the first two sections, but I don't know if you've ever seen that one, but it's anarchist FAQs. It's a very comprehensive work, but the actual PDF would be about 2,000 pages, if not...
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's quite a lot, but it'd be good to get that one done. But...
So since I'm kind of a little bit of an audio nerd and I have my own podcast too, like I just wanted to talk a little bit about the process of like, does someone come to you guys with an idea of, oh, I'd like to read this, and then you give them some instructions, or is it kind of a little more freeform? They record something and send it to you?
Yeah. Well, currently it's a mix of both. We have a group operating on the Discord server, if you're familiar with the Discord mm-hmm. platform. We sometimes have suggestions for readings and input and questions, but other times through our email, people who like what we've done will just volunteer through that, like I did, send an email, ask if they can get involved, or sometimes they'll email us a full work, which is quite a very nice sample. Towards a fresh revolution, a recent upload we've done, it was about an hour and 20 minutes, I would say. That was just someone emailed us that out of the blue.
Okay. And do you guys do post-processing, or do the readers do that themselves? Or is, again, that just kind of a mixed bag?
Yeah, that's kind of a mixed bag. Sometimes when we get a reading, and I'll listen to it on several devices, and it sounds clean, no mistakes or anything, and you can just make that into a video and upload that straight away. Other times we might have to do some cleaning or cutting of some errors, that sort of thing. We've got some volunteers who are very good at audio engineering work. Others like myself are a bit more amateur.
About how many volunteers do you have total that are working on this project now?
It's in terms of active volunteers, it's a bit, I would say about a dozen core volunteers, but of course it can be hard to find the time to do some recording. I'm sure you're aware, having a podcast and everything.
Definitely.
So I'd say about between 12 and 20 people actively recording, plus whoever emails as a contribution. It can vary at times in terms of outputs. So we can sometimes go a few weeks with dozens of contributions, and I'm actually working really hard to try and get them all in processable formats. Other times it's a bit quiet.
So what are kind of the goals, other than just getting this literature out there? What are kind of the goals of the project?
Well, getting this stuff out there is the main goal, but we really want to help assist in educational work. Most of the stuff we have readings of is available online, so you can read it in some format, either on a website or download as a ebook of some kind. But I'm sure you know sometimes that's not ideal for everyone, and so by making audio content for other people, we hope to fill a niche that way.
Right. Not everyone has the ability to read things that, you know, you may be sight impaired. You know, there's just a lot of challenges with actually sitting down and reading a piece of literature. I can't even imagine, like, some of these pieces of literature, like you said, are really long. It must take a lot of takes and a lot of time to get through these without errors. Like, the recording process for some of these major publications must take hours and hours for those volunteers to get those recordings done.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. For example, I've did some short readings. It's about, say, reading length about 5 to 6 minutes, but it took me a good 10, 20, half an hour to get it done correctly. So I've been genuinely surprised, because a lot of our projects are done by a single reader, and some of them are very long, like with the ABCs of Anarchist Communism by Berkman was done by one person from beginning to end, and then he got involved with us afterwards. And I'm genuinely impressed by that, because it's about, it must be 30 hours of recordings, never mind how much it took, how many times it took him to correct mistakes, you know, clean the audio. Also, I'm right, generally baffled. He did it all completely on his own and then joined the project afterwards and said, feel free to use my recordings. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because we're in the process of filming a documentary for New Jersey Revolution Radio, and I'm in that documentary, you know, and it's even just like little brief lines, and like I have to say them two or three times to make sure I get the inflection right on everything and get it, you know, just the right way. So I can only imagine like doing something that's multiple hours of recording must take at least twice as long as the finished product is to try to get everything out and get it just the way you want it. Especially if you're a perfectionist, which I know a lot of people are.
Oh yes, it can easily, if you're a perfectionist, it can easily take double, triple time. Sometimes I think in order to get the work out, sometimes you just gotta focus on, it's not perfect, but I would listen to this. So yeah, let's just get it published, otherwise I'm just gonna be cleaning this forever.
Right. Other than the YouTube channel, where can people get these recordings?
Yeah. Well, we also have a podcast platform we developed later on called Audible Anarchism, with an M on the end there. And we also had a SoundCloud. We uploaded some of our works to, and also the Internet Archive, if you're familiar with that one. We upload some of our... We're hoping to get all of our stuff onto the Internet Archive to help preserve it in case the YouTube, some problems with the YouTube channel in the future, maybe.
Do you think you're having problems? Like, are you noticing they're starting to try to, like, filter you or shadow ban you or anything like that?
Well, we had one of our uploads copyright striked for a while, which surprised us, because it was just a reading of a book, and it according to the email of the copyright strike, it was a TV company. So we didn't quite understand. We didn't understand what. So emailed a question asking them about what was up, and they never responded. So we had a strike for a good 3 months from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you on any other like social media platforms?
We have a Tumblr. We have a Tumblr. We also had a Twitter account, but that's not very active at the moment.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So if people wanted to get involved in the project, what would be the best way?
The best way is to email us at audibleanarchist@gmail.com. So we can answer some queries that way, sort of thing.
Yeah, that was how I reached out to you. I was like, hey, you know, I really like this project. Do you want to come on? And somebody got back to me and, you know, we're doing the interview now. So they're fairly responsive to your questions on that email address. Or they can find you on the Discord server, you said, right?
Yeah. For people who are familiar with using Discord and wish to be a bit more active, we try to add them to the group that way. So I think, but some people just want to. We have a few regular contributors who just do it for email, and that's perfectly fine. Yeah, whatever makes you comfortable.
It's good you haven't really seen a lot of, other than the copyright issue being hassled so much. Like, I know we occasionally get, because we have all the social medias for our podcast, and we get either shadow bans or like throttled when we have something that's a little more controversial. Like, we support BDS, for example. And when we have on people that talk about that, all of a sudden our like reach disappears. It cuts in half or even less. So there's a lot of that like kind of shady underhand shadow banning stuff happening to leftists on all the social media platforms. So I'm glad to see that hasn't happened too much to you guys yet.
Yeah, our comment feed has mostly been pretty tame as well, I have to say, especially compared to my own personal YouTube account.
Yeah, comment sections can be nasty. They can be such vile cesspools of humanity sometimes.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. Yeah. But on the other hand, they can also be really sweet. Like, we've had some very wonderful feedback on some of our uploads through there, and some people wanting to get involved through the YouTube comments, which wasn't really ideal because YouTube's disabled most of the social media interactions thing, so we had to sort of point them to the email, hope they read it.
Right.
But we had some very good feedback, including from some reading impaired people and people who don't speak English as a first language who read along with the audio. Because sometimes what I do is we usually include an online version of what we're reading, so you can get the details there as well if you have problems with the accent maybe or spoken English. Sometimes I also read along with our broadcasts with the book, and some people have done that as well. And we've also had I remember a blind person reached out to us and thanked us, because that's basically how they managed to get most of their education.
Oh, wow. So that, you know, it's good when you get some comments like that, that really kind of support you and keep you going a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a favorite negative comment you've gotten?
Not a particular comment, but I think one of my favorite ones was this basically a pro-capitalist troll type fellow who kept replying to every upload we did for about 2 months. With a long stream about corporate propaganda about how capitalism provides for individuals and competition. And what was good about that one is it basically helped our analytics a lot, because it was commenting every upload we had, including ones that weren't very popular at the time, but he stimulated massive arguments with other people because it was like the usual pro-market nonsense. I'm sure you've encountered it sometimes in your podcasting time. So it helped develop conversations and also helped.
So they actually got you more traffic by just being an annoying troll, basically.
And traffic as well as also people who had issues or had questions would also talk and someone else would come along and answer the questions, and everyone else would learn off the back of whatever this fellow was doing.
Oh, so that's great. Yeah, that they actually helped provide a little education. One of my favorite ones, and this was just because one of our other listeners like responded with almost the exact same thing. They gave us this like 1-star review, and they're like, blatantly communist and rabidly anti-American. And so then somebody else came along and gave us a 5-star review, and the review was, I like them because they're blatantly communist and rabidly anti-American.
that's a good one.
So like, and there's somebody I saw that actually puts their negative like reviews on t-shirts and then sells those t-shirts. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. We need to start doing that.
Oh yeah, that is a very good idea. We should probably set up a t-shirt shop.
So what's the future look like for the project? Do you think that there's a couple, at least a few more years out, like a plan of what you want to get done, and hopefully you can keep the momentum going a little while longer?
Well, the momentum's definitely there. I mean, I just checked my inbox just before we started this interview, and we've already got about 2 more offers to join and volunteer today. That's good to see. The main hurdle is really diversifying this, since some more members take on more responsibilities, because most of the original members have been taking a hiatus for a while because it's real life and things like that. So ideally, if we can get that working, because we've got people doing recordings and submitting them, we've got people who are willing to help in editing, so it might be just need to get people helping with uploading and releasing, and we should be able to if we get that done, we could keep going for a while, because the audience is there, the volunteers are there. We just need to work a bit more on the production side.
Yeah, and I think the productions, you know, they sound really good. I haven't listened to too many of them. Like I said, I just discovered the project maybe like a couple of weeks before I reached out. So I haven't listened to a whole lot of them, but the ones that I have really, you know, they sound really good. They don't sound amateurish. They don't sound like they were recorded in a tin can or, you know, on the, in a submarine or anything like that.
Well, I'll pass on the compliments to the people who did most of the audio work. Yeah, some of the work sounds like just receiving raw audio files, and you listen to it and it sounds perfectly fine, perfectly crystal, wonderful. Add the audible anarchist bumpers, and there you go.
Right.
Go. Others, you need to work a bit more on it, but yeah, it's pretty good.
So what's the YouTube channel again? Where can people find it?
All right, the YouTube channel is Audible Anarchists. And the podcast is Audible Anarchism with an M. But it should be fairly easy to find. We're the ones with a red circle A with headphones. That's how I like them.
And here's a question that I generally ask a lot of people, no matter what I have them on for, is, do you consider yourself an optimist? Do we have a future on this planet?
Well, it's a good thing you asked me this after I listened to Desert, our version of Desert. So, generally speaking, yes, I like to consider myself an optimist. That's why I'm here. Giving my time to help projects like this along, and I mean it looks a bit dark now, but on the other hand, I can remember the early 2000s and the 90s, and there was no real left wing alternative at all back then. It was nothing compared to what it is now, so that gives me hope.
You know, I think you're right that I do see more leftist politics developing and more people developing sort of a wider political conscious than just, especially here, you know, we mainly just have the two-party duopoly. So I'm seeing a lot more interest in alternative organizing methods, and that does spark a little bit of hope. I don't know if we'll get there in time to save ourselves, but at least, you know, you are seeing a spread of it. And you guys are helping with that. You know, you're making it very accessible for everyone. And I make no qualms that I'm trying to bring about a socialist revolution with my show. So I appreciate, even if that's not your stated goal, that you guys are trying to bring about some revolutionary politics over there, too.
Yeah. Solidarity forever and all that.
Yep. So any last words before we call it a day here?
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for reaching out to us. This is the first time we've ever done anything like this. I'm really glad you find our project interesting.
I can't believe I'm the first person that's ever wanted to have you on a podcast before. It's an awesome project. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I've enjoyed talking to you immensely. I enjoy listening to your shows, and it's been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you again. I enjoy listening to your podcast as well.
To my listeners, thank you so much for joining us here today. We are here to be the voice of the activist community. We are something very different from the mainstream media. People are not paying us thousands of dollars to bring you messages that they want you to hear. We are just covering things that we find interesting and useful and helpful for the activist community. We cover you guys because you're not getting covered in the mainstream media, and we would not be here if it weren't for you. That's why we have to keep asking if at all possible possible to make a donation. That's kind of what keeps us going, is your donations. So if you can go under our website, www.njrevolutionradio.com, and click on that donate button, even if it's only $5 a month, you know, enough people giving $5 a month, that pays our hosting fees right there. So we really appreciate any nickels and dimes you can help give us. The future's yours to create. Go out there and create it.